I want to bring the Christian love and that we know in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and 7th verse. We're all familiar with that wonderful scripture. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In this scripture, the apostle is mentioning that let us keep the feast. Oh, what a feast that is for the Lord's people, those who have consecrated their lives to do His will, of complete submission of their lives, of everything connected with this life, to the doing of God's will. And so we are admonished at this time of the year to memorialize the great Passover Lamb, our Lord Jesus. Incidentally, as we well know, the whole Bible is about the Passover Lamb. From beginning to end of the Bible is the message of that great Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus knew that. He knew that the Bible mentions about Him, and how often He had referred to the Jews as well as to the disciples. If you believed in Moses, you would believe in Me, for he wrote of Me. And so all the Jewish people throughout the ages past, as well as during this gospel age, they have kept the Passover, but just the type, not the antitype. And so to this day, our Jewish friends do keep the type, the picture, the illustration, but not the reality. That will come to them, as we know later on, when they shall mourn for Him as their only begotten Son. Isn't it strange and marvelous how the Lord leads His people? That He had admonished the Jewish nation in connection with the law and the covenants and in the promises of God. Unto them were given all of these promises. And yet when the time came for that Passover Lamb to be recognized, as it is written, He came to His own, and His own received them not. This is a marvel that even to this day, brilliant minds of the Jewish people still do not comprehend that Lamb sacrificed so many centuries ago. And so we see, dear friends, what a privileged people we are, that we have the truth. I'm boasting a little bit, but I hope I'm boasting in the Lord and not in self, that we have the truth. And the reason for it is because of the Passover season. Think of it. Over 3,000 years ago, the Jewish people were admonished to have that Passover, the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage and over the Red Sea to the Promised Land. And they were to keep that. And to this day, the Orthodox Jew still keeps the Passover. To me, one of the greatest proofs that the Bible is true is because of the Jewish people. And to this day, they keep that Passover. But we, by God's grace and mercy, have been called out of darkness unto this marvelous light, have come to recognize who that real Lamb was, our Lord Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful recognition that is. There are many people who believe in Jesus, who believe in God and our Lord Jesus. And we can recognize that too amongst ourselves. There are many people who believe in God and our Lord Jesus. But the question is, who may partake of the Passover Lamb? That is, who may participate in the memorial of that great sacrifice? Is it just a little ritual to perform, and that is all to it? Oh no, we know that there's more to it. Oh, the apostle mentions that in this scripture, 1 Corinthians 5:7. Let us consider it again when we read the words, "Even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven." Well, what is the apostle talking about, the old leaven? Do we have the old leaven in us? Oh, indeed, indeed. When I think of the apostle Paul mentioned, put off the old man and put on the new. Well, what did he mean by that? Put off the old man. Do we have the old man in us? Oh yes, the old Adamic stuff, the old Adamic nature, which pulls us down, which pulls us in opposite direction in which God would like us to go. We're constantly fighting the world, the flesh, yes, the old man, and the adversary. And so we see we have quite a struggle, quite a battle to overcome. But the Lord has promised grace sufficient for every time of need. And so when we consider who may partake, we must consider the qualifications of those who are willing to partake of this Passover lamb. It isn't just a ritual to perform every year, but it is in commemoration of that great sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, and also our part with him in sacrificing. Even in the Apostle Paul's day, there were brethren who believed in Jesus. But Paul says in Romans 12, the first 12th chapter of Romans, the first verse, even then he said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." They were brethren. They believed in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They believed in their Messiah, our Lord Jesus. But what did he admonish them to do? "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." And this is one of the greatest struggles of human nature. It is no wonder that it takes over 1900 years to call the gospel church. For straight is the gate and narrow the way. And when we consider the purpose of calling out a people for his name, we realize that it is not an easy course, that it is a difficult course. Straight is the gate, is what our Lord said. The gate, the narrow way. Straight is the gate and narrow the way, and few there may that find it. Even amongst the Lord's people, I'm being very bold in saying that, but brethren, that is the case. Our Apostle Paul had that problem even amongst the brethren in the early days. Straight is the gate, our Lord said, and Paul said, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your lives a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." And so we can see that the old man, the old leaven in us, has to be purged and cleansed day by day to be copies of God's dear Son. So it is not an easy course. It isn't just to submerge yourself in water and that is all there is to it. And how many have done that? One time at the Polish convention, one young brother said, after he was immersed, "Oh, I'm glad that's over." It's only the beginning of a Christian life, willing to sacrifice. Oh, somebody says, "What do you sacrifice? You live just the same as anybody else." Well, of course we have our homes, our cars, and our necessities of life. But even then, a person can learn to sacrifice. Sacrifice his own will instead of doing God's will. And this is one of the greatest problems for the human mind to comprehend. Not to do your own will, but to do God's will. Yielding to the will of God as illustrated in the Bible. And our Lord Jesus is that wonderful example who set us a pattern that we should follow in his footsteps. And this is not an easy way, as I repeat over and over again. Oh, there's so many friends that are urging brethren or someone to be baptized. But you know, sometimes when I stop to think of what Jesus said, it is entirely different. He did urge, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I am the way and the life and the truth," and so forth. But you know, when they begin to follow him for loaves and fishes, then our Lord had something else to say. And in John the 6th chapter, you remember, he had many of them that were following him. And he said, can you imagine? He said this to them, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." Well, that's contrary to the Jewish law. And the Jewish people so immersed in the Mosaic arrangement. And here our Lord Jesus, who claims to be the Messiah, is expressing words of such magnitude. What does he mean? "Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood." Contrary to the law. And yet our Lord Jesus knew what he was saying. And he knew why he said it. And many walked no more with him. And so we see, brother, and it is true, except we eat his flesh and drink his blood, symbolically, of course, of sacrificing our lives with him, willing to give up our lives, willing to give up this human nature, and instead follow in the footsteps of Jesus to the end of our pilgrimage. And so we see it is a continual struggle over the old nature. You know, when Abraham left Ur of Chaldees, he was not able to offer Isaac immediately. But it took him many years later, as he journeyed through life, and as he learned to trust God where he cannot face him. His constant faith in God and in his love for the Lord, that he was willing to offer up his Isaac. And so you and I are not willing to offer up our Isaac until we take step by step, year by year, willing and glad to offer up our Isaac. And so to be immersed into God's will is to understand the purpose of it all, is to understand that you're willing and glad to do God's will to the end of your life. And so we read in 1 Corinthians, which the brethren had read before us, but we'd like to consider some more points along that line. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter, the 27th verse and on. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Oh, that's how easy that is to be done by some who do not fully appreciate and understand the privilege of eating and drinking that wonderful arrangement that God has. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge yourselves, we should not be judged." And this is the case. We're not here to tell who is to partake or who is not to partake. But the point is to judge ourselves, to see whether we have yielded our life to him, that whether we are willing